You know, we started off with Sunday morning and Sunday evening talking about cricket, discussing how important we are to God and just what a great purpose He has for us and how each individual person is important and has a purpose in what God has planned for their life. And so as I was preparing and thinking about that, I was thinking of all of the ways that people in my life have been important and what they've imparted and put into my life. And I think a lot of times it's easy, I know, as mothers and parents, to look at our children and be able to say, I see the great things God has for them. I see the future. I see the destiny. I see the purpose. But sometimes it's hard for us to see it in ourselves. A lot of times it's hard for us to really understand and grasp just how much God loves us and how great His purpose is for our life. And so as I was thinking about this and as I was preparing for this, we watch a lot of History Channel in our house. And so that's kind of started to infiltrate my thoughts and as we're doing this. And so there was an interesting story and an interesting story about a group of people. And a lot of us have heard of this group and, you know the gist of this. There's been movies, there's been documentaries. But I was looking at these people, this group, and I was looking at their life and I was looking at their society. And this group was a small group, and it was a small group in Greece called the Spartans. And we've heard the stories of what great warriors there are and how it was a small group in comparison to the larger community out there. But what was so great about this group was they were known as this awesome military force, this force that no one could defeat. And as I was studying, as I was researching and looking at this group, they said there were two things about this group that made them so successful in their time. And one was how disciplined they were and their militaristic style. But as you dig deeper into it, you see one thing, and the main thing that set this group apart during that time, they were known by some now historians as kind of ahead of their time and what they're thinking. But what it was is their family dynamic. See, back in those days, children that were born, a lot of times the male child was favored over the female child. And there were a lot of different thought patterns back then. But this society and this group knew two things. And one thing they knew was, the first thing was that each individual in their society, male or female, young or old, had a purpose and a plan to be a part of that community in their life. They knew when a child was born, it didn't matter if it was male or female. They actually, at that time, it was said that most of the societies did not feed the female child as well as they did the male child, but not in their society. Their society valued both because they knew that they needed strong males as leaders and warriors and strong females as leaders and warriors. Now, the Spartan mother is the first one I looked at. And it was really interesting to see because in a lot of society, the men were ridiculed because they said that they were controlled by women. They let their women in their government. They let their women do things. But see, the Spartans knew something different. What they knew in their society was this. The women loved their husbands. They respected their husbands and what they did. They respected their position. But at the same time, these women were trained up to be strong women. Strong women, strong mothers, strong examples. And their men loved and respected them for this role in their life, this role as mother and this role as strong woman. It was said that in the legends, the men would say, we may be known for having beautiful wives, but really it's their strength that we value. And so these women were loving, nurturing mothers while at the same time they did. When the men would go out at their battles, these women would step into roles. They were trained to fight just like men were trained to fight. They were trained to defend and they were trained in these roles. But when their husbands came back from these wars, they were mothers and wives. And they were very happy in these roles. And the men, I think the men is probably what is focused on the most in the stories that they tell because they were such awesome, awesome warriors. But as we all know, with anything, it takes a lot of training and a lot of strength to be awesome. And they had some harsh training. But one of the things, one of the key components of the Spartans that set them apart from any other military force at that time was their weapons, but in particular, one weapon. And they had their spears and they had their swords and they had great weapons. But the one weapon they had that no other force had at the time, and it was said no other force could beat, was their shield. And it was a different shield than any other army, than any other military force. And during that time, it was Samaria that had some of the best weapons around. The way they crafted their weapons, the way they made their weapons and did everything with them, they said that it could beat any army except for the Spartans. It was the only weapon known that could defeat any other army's weapons except for this shield, this one shield. It couldn't do anything but leave a scratch or a mark on it. And so, having said that, when they would go into these wars and they would go into these battles and they would fight and they would fight, there were, at times they would reach a point where the enemy was so great and the army was so great that they would get in this classic formation that we see in the Spartans. And what they would do is they would keep their weapons, they would take their weapons, their shields and their spears, and they would back into this formation together as a group under their shield. And when we see this a lot of times in the movies and history, we know that when that begins to happen, that the Spartans are about to win the war, because they knew what no one else knew, that this could not be penetrated, and they would ultimately, when they would rise up out of that shield, they will have won the battle and their enemies would have been left on the field. So as I was preparing and I was looking at this story, I was thinking about all the ways that we fight the enemy. And so God just gave me this title for this message as Pray versus Pray. Do we pray or are we pray? Are we pray to the enemy? But not pray just in the sense of the act of praying, but in our relationship with God. And a lot of times when the enemy comes in, it's hard to distinguish because he seeks us as prey. Now, as I went through this and I looked at it, you know, we live in a society with just a lot of confusion and a lot of, even within the church, within communities, confusion about what God says, what God does, the way the world views the church. Unfortunately, sometimes the way churches view churches, so much confusion. And see, if we look at Corinthians 14:33, it says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace." So we know in this world, in the society we live in the darkness that is coming, it tells us God is not a God of confusion. This is not God. This is the enemy. But in John 4:11, it says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit and see if it's of God. So God gives us tools to test the spirit, test the things we're hearing through his word and see, is that God? Also in Matthew 7:7, it says, "Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open." And see, as we seek God and as we go through trials and as we go through battles, the first thing we do oftentimes is we say, we ask. And that's the first thing we do. We ask God, why? What's going on? What's happening in our prayer life? We ask God. And then we seek it. Oftentimes in the Word. We seek through the Word. We look for scriptures. We look through things that God, tools that God has given us to defeat that battle. And it says, knock and the door shall be open to you through prayer, communication, and talking. And these are the promises that God gives us. And you know, I wanted to look at the two major ways that the enemy really fights us and attacks us, and really how the battle begins and the war takes place. And what that is the first way, and this one I actually won't focus on very much because it is so obvious and it's so common, and everyone in this room, everyone has experienced this. And the first doorway is through sin. And that's the most obvious one. That's the one where we have committed a sin or we have done something and we need to ask forgiveness for that sin. And so we know that doorway. That doorway is very obvious a lot of times. Sometimes it is not as obvious, but through prayer and asking God, he will reveal it to us. But the second one is the one that I really wanted to focus on, and that is the one that's not always so obvious. And that's the one that the enemy uses that confusion and brings us back to, it must be sin, it must be sin, it must be sin, when it's not. And the second one is the test. And that's what I wanted to really focus on and talk about today, is the tests in our lives and the trials that we go through and not listening to the enemy. Because I can't tell you how many times I've seen this, or, you know, seen this happen to other people and experienced it in my own life. Someone goes through a trial or something hard, and there's that immediate either accusation or self-accusation of, oh, well, what's the sin? What's wrong? What have they done? Why is this happening? And the enemy always takes us there. He always takes us to the, it must be me. It must be something. Or someone telling us it's you, it's something. But sometimes it is a test. And we see this in Job. Job is an example of this test, of the test that God allows. And in our life, we have these tests we come to, and oftentimes we don't at first see it as a test. We don't know that's what it is. We don't recognize that's what it is. We just know that things are beginning to fall apart and things are beginning to happen, and we don't understand why. And just like the Spartans with their weapons and their swords, we use the tools God has given us. He's given us prayer, fasting, intercession, a church family. He's given us so many great tools and weapons and promises in His Word. He's given us so many great things. And as we enter these trials and we enter these times and we say, God, what's going on? What's happening? We go to these tools and we go to these weapons and we go to the prayer. And we go to prayer and we see God and we say, God. And I know for me personally, I say, God, if there is anything that I have done that I have not seen, reveal it to me, show it to me. And I think we have to go through the testing of what it is, of what it is that God's trying to tell us and what it is that God's trying to say. Because a lot of times, as it said in 1 John 4:11, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit and see it's of God. So when we go through trials, the hardest thing to do, I think that always the hardest thing to do is really just to look inwardly and be honest with ourselves. To be honest with ourselves and say, is there sin in my life? Is there a sin that is putting a wall there, putting a wall between me and God? Is it that? And really be honest. Or can we even be, sometimes even harder to say, you know what? God, I don't see the sin, but if it's there, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me. I cry out to you, God. Forgive me for that sin. But then as it keeps going and it gets deeper and deeper, we realize, okay, this thing is not sin. And for some, it kind of takes us back. Okay, wait, this isn't sin. What is this? I don't know what this is. This is unfamiliar territory. And so we look at that part of our life, and then we can know, and by seeking God, that this is a test. This is a test. And some battles and some tests are smaller, and some are greater, depending on the battle, depending on what it is that you're going through in your life. But every test has a purpose. And with every test, there comes a great reward at the end of that test. And God knows. God can see the end of our test before we know that we're even in the test. And see, I can speak from an experience in this area of testing and not being able to see it's a test and not understanding for months that it's a test and why it's a test, and actually not even knowing it's a test until it's all over with. And then looking back in retrospect, sometimes you see what it was when you come through the storm or the test. And I just want to share with you a personal example, experience of testing, and what God revealed to me personally through this test. But I think it's what God is saying to so many people who cry out to God and say, God, why is this happening? I've known so many people that said, you know what? I'm in a great spiritual place with God. I love God. We're tithing. We're reading our Bible. We're praying. We're fasting. We're doing the things. But man, I'm going through this test and I'm going through this trial. I don't know why this is happening. I'm praying, but it doesn't seem to be working. I'm reading my Bible, but it's not working. I've been fasting. It's not working. And it just goes on and on. And you see it so many times and you hear it. And I think until you experience it and the weight of what the enemy does, it's really hard to comprehend on some levels. And so I just wanted to share with you that aspect of it and the aspect of what the test is and what comes out of the test from the spiritual side and the practical side. And that's something that God revealed personally to me. And that is that when my test began, I didn't know it was there. Like I said, I did not realize through the test that it was a test. But God revealed it was a test. What had happened was I was at that place I'd heard about, that place so many people are at, of a great just spiritual place in God, going forward in the things of God, crying out to God, saying, God, you know, I want to be a part of helping people. I want to do something. I was at what I would call a great place. If we compare places in our lives, that it was a great place. And I was at that place. And then all of a sudden, literally in a matter of days, something changed instantly. It was instantaneous. It was like nothing I had ever experienced in my life before. And I'm going to speak kind of looking back in retrospect now, but what it was is the test began for me, and I didn't know the test had begun. And when you go through a battle, when you go through a fight or anything like that, you know the worst place to be is weak, out of breath, laying down on the ground. You never want to start a battle that way from the defeat position. But this test was interesting because this test snuck up. And this test, I became weak, physically tired. Things began to happen in my life. And before the real battle began, before the enemy really attacked, I was already weak. I was already down. I was already there. And it happened quickly, but it happened over the course of maybe a month or two. And see, looking back now, one of the things that God showed me was, and I think this is what God says any time He gives you a test, and that is this: there is a purpose, there is a reason for this test, and there's a greater glory that is going to come out of this test. And I look at it this way, because I see things in pictures. And so I picture, as in the story of Job, where the enemy went and said to God, yes, you blessed Job. So sure, he serves you. Sure, he does all these things. But let me test him. Let me see what I can do, and then let's see what he does. And I think in our lives, that's what the enemy does. He says, sure, they're in a good place. Sure, things are good. But let me get involved and see what they can do. And because God knows us and God loves us and we're God's children, think of how you look at your children and the faith you have in them. And you look at them and you say, they're going to do great things. And you have all these hopes and these dreams. God looks at us and say, these are my children. I love these children. I know the destiny and the purpose I put in their life. God has that for us. And so the enemy comes in and he says, I'm going to take that out. And when you've walked through a battle, even if it's a small battle, it doesn't feel small when you're walking through it. And it doesn't matter what the battle is, whether it be sickness, relationship, finances, a battle is a battle. So what God revealed to me in seeing it in this way is, like in Job, God said, he showed me, he said, okay, I had been asking for these things. I had been seeking God. I've been praying for a long time and asking God for a long time and just praying and seeking. And so in answer to that, it was like God showed me the enemy said, okay, she wants these things. Let's see. Let's test. But let's give her a test that is not like any other test she's had before. Because she's asking for something she never asked for before. So let's give her a test. Let's see. Let's see if she can pass the test. And so God allowed this test in my life. And without this test, so many things would not have changed. Changed within my heart. Things I didn't even know would not have been able to change. So in this case, and every battle is different, but in the particular case for me, it was really became through this battle, life and death situation. This was the kind of test that I've had tests and trials before. My kids have been sick. I've had to go to the hospital, and there's that fear test of your child and prayer and the battle there. So I've been through many different tests, but never a test like this. But I realized after it was over, this was an all or nothing test. And this was a test I had never experienced and I hadn't seen personally. So I didn't know how to gauge it. But it was a test that God said, okay, in this test, it was like there are these two forces, and the enemy says, if she loses, I get her life, I get her family, I get her ministry, I get her children, I get everything. And God said, But when she passes the test, I get her life. I get her ministry. I get her children's ministry. And I get so many more things that we can't even comprehend. Because see, the enemy thought he knew something that no one else knew. And what that was is the enemy cloaks himself and cloaks things a lot of times in darkness. And so the enemy knew things, childhood things, things that had gone on through childhood, through adulthood. The enemy thought, I can use these tools. I can use these in her mind. I can put doubt. I can put fear. I can put self-doubt, self-condemnation. I can use these things. So the enemy thought he had it won. And at times it looked that way. But God said, you know the beginning, but I know the end. And that is the power of God. See, he knows the end. The devil does not know the end. He only knows what tools he thinks he has implanted in your life that he's going to win that battle with. And so in this case, the battle was so strong and lasted for a long, long time. And the enemy tried through death, through the tearing apart of family, through slander, through all types of things to destroy. But he wasn't able to do it. And I know that as you walk in that test and you walk in that trial, whether it be with sickness or in any area, it's like God is saying, I'm here. I'm here with you. Use your weapons. Use your tools. Use the things that I have given you because I know you can get through this trial, but just hang on. It's like God sees you and his heart breaks for you as you go through that trial. He looks at you as a father whose heart is just breaking to watch you go through that trial, but he knows the glory at the end of this thing that it will become. You know, it said in Job, it said his life was greater after. It was so much greater after the trial. It changed his life. What it was before, it wasn't any longer. It was greater after the trial. And that is the intention and the purpose of every trial that we go through, is that greater glory comes out of it. Because if the enemy would have won this battle and would have won this trial, he would have destroyed lives, but he also would have destroyed ministries. He would have destroyed every plan that God had, but God is stronger than that. And so as you go through your trials, I just want you to know that there is a purpose and a destiny that God has for your life. It is greater than you can even imagine. A lot of times, I think we know God, we love God, we believe the Word of God, and we seek God, but we can't fully comprehend just how strong God is. But I know through the end of this trial and as it was coming to an end, I think back, and I was looking back as I was preparing, and I thought about that shield. You know, I thought about that Spartan shield that no enemy could defeat. And then I thought about Psalms 28:7 that says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. It's this weapon. And so I know at the end of trials, God says, still use your weapons. Use your word. Use your prayer. Use your fellowship. Use your fasting. But there is going to be a battle that is so great that you're going to have to come under the shield. And our shield, it's not just some weapon like the Spartans had. Our shield is God. Because we cannot think that coming under the shield of God and just seeking refuge is weakness, because it's not. That's where the strength is. God says, okay, you've walked through this trial. You've been beaten. You've been broken. You get to a place in it where you say, okay, God, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm seeking, but I can't stand anymore. I can't stand. And you get up and you stand when you think you can't. But then there is this breaking point, this one time where God says, come under the shield, because I'm taking this thing. This battle is coming to an end. So you take your weapons. You always keep those weapons with you. But you come under the shield. You join with the others around you. You get under the shield. Because what's going to happen when you come out of that battle is this. You may not be able to move. You may not be able to speak anymore. But the promise of God under his shield is this. That's that you will rise up again. And when you come back up out of his shield and out of his protection, out of his love, that's when you're going to see your enemy scattered. You're going to see all of those things just lying around you. And you're going to be able to stand up victorious in God and victorious in future. You know, I think back now and I look at our girls and I see, because after a battle you can always see and you know it before, but that what the enemy was trying to take. And I think, you know, God, I look at purpose and destiny in people's lives, and I know they don't realize at times how great it is, how great the destiny God has for their life. But I want to tell you this. After the battle, I looked at it and I said, okay, God, it was a month or so after of just healing and coming out of it. And I said, okay, God, I realized that this was a test, because it was a knowing and a voice. And just as quickly as it came on, it left. And the voice of God said, it's finished. It's over. And it was over that day. It was done. And almost instantly what God revealed to me as I looked at my kids and I looked at our life and I said, okay, God, how great of a destiny do you have for these children, for the future of our family? Because what was so worth it to the enemy to expose himself, to expose strongholds, to expose lies and relationships and negative things? What was so great? What destiny was so great that he was willing to give up every foothold he had to win this battle? He was willing to give up his tricks, his lies, his schemes. Something, a destiny that God had was so great. He was willing to lose everything and would lose everything. And I looked at our daughters, and our oldest, she has such a soft heart, and it has since she was little. She can look at people and see when they're hurting in friends. She's never, from a small child, she's never seen race or gender or anything. She just has that just heart of love and compassion. Her sister had to get shots the other day, and she was just almost in tears. It made her sick that she was crying. I mean, she has such a heart of compassion. I think, wow, what a great destiny God has for her life. And then our youngest started kindergarten, and she went to school the other day, and our teacher came up and said, she was talking to Cricket about her in the hall, and she said, well, you should be proud of your little girl. She's doing great. And he said, well, she better be acting good, you know, and listening and paying attention. And she said, no, that's not what I mean. She said, when the kids all get together and they talk about things in their group time and everything, they tell their little stories. And she says, well, let me tell you about Jesus. And she tells them all about Jesus. And this teacher says, you have a little missionary already at 5. And so I think, God, what a great destiny you have for this child's life that could have changed if she had lost her mother, if she had lost her family, if she had lost all of these things that the enemy was trying to destroy. And then as I prayed and went forward with this, God revealed more and more and more in his goodness, as he does. And one of the things he showed me was almost a year to the day of when the enemy tried to take my life. Within that same month, I thought that through passing this test, that God was fulfilling those destinies and purpose in my life, in my family's life. But then there was another little destiny and purpose I didn't know. And that was almost a year later, we found out we'd be having a third child, a third baby. And so I think, you know, God, if the enemy had killed me, if the enemy had destroyed my family or my children or any of this, this child would not even be here. What destiny do you have for this child that is so great that the enemy wanted to kill and destroy before this child even had a chance? How many lives in our country and in our world are spared and saved of children who have such a destiny on their life that the enemy does not want them born into this world, but they're born into this world? And how great, and how we have to nurture that destiny. So just as you go through your day-to-day walk, I don't know battles and struggles that everyone has, but I know this, that I have never walked through a battle or a struggle like I've walked through in the last year. But God just wants you to know that he has such a purpose and such a destiny for your life. God says, you know what? You're in this trial, but I know you have faith in me, and I know you can do this. Have faith in me. Have faith in my knowing in you. You can make it through this trial. You know my word. You know my voice. Just fight the fight. It takes fighting the battle to win the war. And God knows that you can do it. If you're going through a trial and you're saying, God, why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And you've gone through that process of being honest with ourselves and saying, okay, is it a sin? That's the easier one to recognize. And if you say through that process, no, it's not this. And as God reveals to you that maybe you are in a test, know this, no matter how great the test, the greater the test, the greater the glory for God. I know I've heard it before, and I've heard people say so many times, you know, be joyful for the trial and joyful for the battle, which is so true. But I know when you're walking through it and you hear those words, they kind of lose their meaning. Because, you know, as humans, by our human nature, we think, how can we be joyful through this trial? How can we be? But really what it is God knows the end. God sees what we don't see. God sees these things. He sees our future. He sees our destiny. See, the enemy only sees the past and what he thinks he has to win. But God knows the truth and his plans for our life. And so, I just wanted to end with this. And that is that if you are in a place that you're going through any kind of trial, no matter how small, how large that trial is, and the enemy's telling you it's your fault, it's you, you're no good, you're not a good father, you're not a good mother, any of those lies that the enemy tells you, every time the enemy tells you a lie, he is just trying to stop the plan that God has for your life. And no matter how you get deep into those thoughts of, well, you know what? Maybe I am not a good father, not a good mother, not a good employee, not a good person. No matter how deep that gets put into you, know this, that is a lie of the enemy. God knows the plans he has for you, and they're great plans. Your destiny and your future has not changed because you're going through a trial. The trial is there to make you grow and get to that destiny that God has for you. You'll go from trial to trial, but you'll go from glory to glory, and you'll only get stronger in the things of God. So as I close today, I just want to just, if we could, and it's a little bit different, but if we could just all just stand for a moment. And I just want to take this time, and this is something right before the service I just felt like God told me is, I just want to pray with you during this time, because I know this. If the enemy's not trying to trap you and ensnare you in sin, he's trying to test you and see what he can do, see what he can get away with in your life. And I just believe and I just know that with God, all things are possible. And so I just want to pray, if you'll just bow your heads with me, and I just want to say, God, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to forgive us for any sin that we have in our life, God, that you just forgive us for those sins that we have committed against you, God. We don't want any wall or any barrier between you and us, God. Also, God, I ask that you reveal to me, Lord, any of those sins that I may not be aware of, Lord, just bring them to my memory, Lord, because I just ask for your forgiveness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.